When I was a kid, I had a really hard time learning how to tie my shoes. Like, I know there was something about a rabbit and a loop or around a tree or something, and then you take the rabbit and you shove it in a hole. I just couldn't get it. I'm sure my mom showed me how to do it. I'm sure my dad told me how to do it. I'm sure any one of my 8 aunts and uncles on one side and 2 more on the other probably showed me how to do it. I had a hard time learning how to tie my shoes, and so I wore Velcro for a very long time. And ain't nothing wrong with Velcro shoes. But I remember one day, I'm pretty sure I was at my Grandma Gladstone's house. She sat down next to me, and she put a shoe in my lap, and she put a shoe in her lap, and she said, okay, let me walk this through with you. And, a couple of times we walked through, and I got it. I figured out how to tie my shoes. I think that probably a part of the reason that happened was that she was ambidextrous, and so she like did it differently than everybody else did. But I also think it was that she sat down, she came alongside me, and helped me to do it. That picture of someone coming alongside us and showing us how to do things, teaching us and enabling us, is the picture that Jesus gives us of the Holy Spirit when he comes in and works in our lives. And so I want to spend our time this morning talking about the Holy Spirit as Jesus presents him in the Last Supper sermon. So join me in John 14, verse 15 is where we'll start, and I'll show you what I mean about the Holy Spirit coming in to help us, to go alongside us, to counsel and guide. So John 14, 15 is where we're going to start today. Jesus actually talked a lot about the Holy Spirit in that Last Supper discourse, in his talk at the Last Supper. And we'll look at a couple of passages, but we're going to start at John 14 right now. So John 14, 15, we're still at the Last Supper. Right, we've spent 4 weeks now, and we're still in the Last Supper. Jesus is telling his disciples very important things about how to live in his absence. These become words to live by for his disciples and for us. So John 14, 15, he finally says, okay, I'm not going to be with you much longer, but listen. If you love me, I will obey. You will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. This is Jesus' plan for his disciples, even when he is not physically present with them. He will ask the Father, and the Father will send the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us here some very important things about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you 5 very quickly. First, the Holy Spirit is given to all who believe. Right, that's verse 15. If you love and obey me, I will ask the Father, and he will send the Spirit. Who are people who love and obey Jesus? It's us. Right? It's his followers. People who walk with Jesus receive the Holy Spirit. So that means that if you are following Jesus, then the Father has sent the Spirit to you. The Spirit is within you. 2, the Spirit is not simply some force that God has sent you. I remember one time as a kid sitting in church, and for the first time ever, somebody referred to the Holy Spirit as him. And I thought, wait, what? Him? The Holy Spirit is a him? I kind of thought in my kid brain that the Spirit was like, I don't know, the force in Star Wars. It was just like at work in sort of a way. But no, verse 17, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. That would be like saying, you cannot accept my computer because you cannot see him. doesn't make any sense, right? Him implies that it's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Spirit's in you. Holy Spirit is a person. Not just that. Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God himself. This is the Trinity in action. The Father asks the Son. The Son sends the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is within us. And did you notice in verse 16, what does it say? He will give you another counselor. Another counselor. Who's the first? It's Jesus. The Father gives another counselor, which tells us that the Spirit picks up and continues the work that Jesus did when he was on earth. That the song that we just sang is exactly right. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and sending your Spirit to finish that work. Okay, through the Holy Spirit, God himself comes to us. Four, he comes not just for flashes of insight now and then. Verse 17, he comes through the Son. The Holy Spirit comes to live with us and in us permanently. God himself lives in you in the person of the Holy Spirit if you are walking with Jesus. So let's recap those four. If you love and follow Jesus, the Father has given you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not simply a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God, and he is with you and in you. Which leads to the big one, why? Why is the Spirit with us and in us? I could keep here until, I don't know, supper tonight answering that question. But in the interest of time, let me introduce some ideas here with this. Verse 16 gives us a pretty good intro. Specifically, there's one word in verse 16. It says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, what? What does your Bible say?
Counselor.
Counselor. Anybody have something else?
Help.
Helper.
Advocate.
Advocate. Yeah, good. The word that Jesus uses here is tricky to get a handle on. It's literally paraclete, not parakeet. I will send you another parakeet. That would make the Bible different. Paraclete. It's this word that means a person who comes alongside, with the implication being to help. That a paraclete is a person who comes alongside to help. That's what the Holy Spirit does. There are a lot of different words that we use in English to capture what the Holy Spirit does, and that's why there are so many different translations, because it's translators trying to get a handle in English on a concept that we just don't have. Like, think for a minute about all the things that a mother does. You know, gives life, caretaker, counselor, comforter, taxi driver. Like, what one word would you use to describe everything a mother does? Mother, I suppose, right? But that's because we've agreed in English that that collection of things that a person does can be described by mother. We just don't have that word for a paraclete. A helper. So this is why there's so many different translations. The ESV, somebody said helper. That's a great translation. It's a broad translation because, yes, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to help us. In particular, how does he help us? The NIV that we've got in the pews is counselor. That's true. He guides. He gives direction. The King James Version and the Living Bible, those say that he is a comforter. Also true. I think the newest version of the NIV uses advocate, which is helpful. There is, in a sense, a legal advocacy that happens by the Holy Spirit. He intercedes for us. I think there is actually a sense of advocate in English that gets closer to what the Holy Spirit does in us. And it's this. Do you know the concept of a hospital advocate or a patient advocate in the hospital? This is somebody who comes alongside a patient to help them to navigate the different parts of being in a hospital, helps them set up appointments, gives them guidance, intercedes for them in the process. That, I think, captures, in a nutshell, what it is that the Holy Spirit does in us, is an advocate for us in that way. The Holy Spirit is an advocate in the sense that he helps us and guides us and intercedes for us in life. So if you love and follow Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit in you to lead and guide and intercede for you every day of your life. So that's Jesus' introduction to the Holy Spirit in John 14. But as I say, Jesus keeps coming back to the Holy Spirit in the Last Supper. So John 14, 26, he talks about the Spirit. John 15, 26, he talks about the Spirit. And then John 16, 5 through 16, he talks about him some more. So let's just jump ahead to John 16. John 16, 5 through 16. He is going to now take this concept of the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, who is our advocate, and work out what that means for the world and for us as well. So John 16, verse 5, Jesus says to his disciples, "Now, I am going to the one who sent me, and yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief." Just a quick aside, a very quick aside. None of you ask me, "Where are you going?" This seems like a very strange thing for Jesus to ask. Because if you've been paying attention, you know that three chapters back, John 13, 36, Peter literally asks Jesus, "Where are you going?" Like literally, exact same words, I checked the Greek. There are about a million answers to explain why this is the case. But I think the best is this. Jesus, I think, understands what's going on in their hearts. And when Peter asked, "Where are you going?" he didn't really care where Jesus was going. What he wanted to know is, "Why are you leaving?" Right? Peter doesn't care where Jesus is going. He only wants to know why it is that this man that he has loved and followed for many years is leaving him. I don't care where you're going. Why are you leaving? Jesus, though, says, "Listen, it is good for me to go." I mean, he literally says that, verse 7. "I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus, I'm sure, feels the pain of separation that his disciples are feeling, but he realizes two things. One, if he doesn't go, he can never die for their sin to bring them to himself eternally. Two, he can only be with them, in the limitations of his human body, which means he can't be with them all the time. But if he goes to the Father and sends the Spirit, he can be with them permanently. We'll see in a minute how the Spirit works in us, but first, Jesus wants to talk about how the Spirit works in the world, because, yes, the Spirit comes to every believer, but the Spirit continues to work in the hearts of those who don't believe, too. Verse 8, when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because people do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. When the Holy Spirit came into the world, he started working in the hearts of people who know Jesus and the people who don't know Jesus. He starts to nudge our consciences, even deeper than our consciences, to say that what the world calls right is not always right from God's point of view. And I remember when I was in university, God did exactly this. I grew up in the church, right? Like, I had perfect attendance certificates, probably still at home in a closet somewhere, at Sunday school. But when I got to university, I thought, "I'm a big boy now. I don't have to go to church." But then I'd walk through the halls of the university, and I'd walk through the halls of my dormitory, and there was these nudges going, "Wait, if it doesn't really matter, why do I feel guilty? Is this all there is to this world? If the world says that this thing that I'm doing is okay, then why does it not seem right? You know what that was? That was the Holy Spirit at work in my heart. That was the Holy Spirit revealing to me the sin, i.e. the things I did selfishly away from God, that was in my heart. That was the Holy Spirit shining a light on my so-called righteousness and demonstrating, whoa, boy, Graham, you are far from righteous as Jesus was when he went up into heaven, and showing me that there is judgment yet to come, and that if I was not reconciled to God, it would not end well for me. That was the Holy Spirit doing exactly what Jesus says that he will do in John 16. He showed me that I was a sinner in need of grace and that Jesus was a Savior who is full of grace. By that grace, I turned to trust in him. And the Father sent the Spirit, not just to kind of work and nudge, but to live in me forever. And that's where he started to work, started to make me more like Jesus. You can see that in verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus says, he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Holy Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is how the Holy Spirit takes us from the sinful, apart from God life that we used to live and makes us more and more into the character of Jesus. Verse 13, he guides us into all truth. Right? He shows us what is truly right and what is truly wrong from God's point of view. Helps us to choose what Jesus would choose. Verse 14, he takes the words of Jesus and makes them known to us. Another of the passages from the Last Supper is helpful here. John 14, 26, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. That means that at any moment, the Holy Spirit is going to be calling to mind things that Jesus has taught us in the past. So in a moment where you really want to lash out at a coworker, the Holy Spirit might pop up and go, whoa, didn't Jesus say, love one another as I have loved you? When your heart is about to get away with you in fear, the Holy Spirit will pop in and say, whoa, didn't Jesus say, let not your heart be troubled, but trust in God and trust in me? As the Holy Spirit bringing Jesus' words to mind, he guides us into truth. He reminds us of Jesus' teaching. He shows us what's to come. Verse 13. In a sense, I mean that's the Holy Spirit helping us to apply Jesus' words in our lives today. I also think, though, it's the Holy Spirit helping us to look forward to what is ahead, that eternal life that we are promised. Like, when we drove down to Florida, how many of you have driven to Florida before? How many of you have driven, like, 18 hours before, wherever the destination was? You know, about halfway there, I'm going, I can't handle this anymore. This is so mind-numbing. But what did I do? I thought forward to what was ahead, and it made me go, okay, I can do this. I can get through this. There's something good coming. The Holy Spirit brings that to our mind and says, there is something good coming. So keep at it. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Father sends the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin, and he leads us into Christ-likeness. That's in a nutshell what it is. He shows the world their sin, and he helps us to become more like Christ. Given that, what do I want you to do about it? Two thoughts to wrap up. One sentence. Receive the Spirit. Let him make you more like Jesus. That's your takeaway. Receive the Spirit. Let him make you more like Jesus. First, receive the Spirit. If you've been living like the world and experiencing this sense that this world is not all there is, experiencing this feeling that something deeper than your conscience is going, whoa, hold on, this is not the way I was meant to live. That's the Holy Spirit at work in your heart to bring you to God. I know that it's not easy to admit or to acknowledge that I might not have it all together here and that I actually have need of someone. But let me tell you from experience that when I stop trying to prop up my own righteousness by doing these good deeds to outweigh the things that were pushing me down, it was like a weight off, a brand new life. Receive the Spirit. Give up your own righteousness. Take Jesus as your own and receive the Holy Spirit within you. And I'll just say, for those of us who have known Jesus for a while, we're not a super charismatic church, and so we don't make as much of the Holy Spirit as some churches might. But this is an objective biblical truth. If you are following Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Not like pops in every once in a while or on the weekend or whatever. The Holy Spirit is with you 24/7. Recognize that. Realize that. Listen to the Spirit at work in you. Like, go home this afternoon, read Romans 8. Paul tells us so much more about what the Holy Spirit does in us to help to pray for us, to intercede for us, to remind us that we are truly God's children. The Holy Spirit is in you. Make use of Him, I should say. Let Him guide you into Christ's likeness. Some people I have heard call the Holy Spirit the silent partner of the Trinity. And it's true. The Holy Spirit's job is not to draw attention to Himself. It is to point to Jesus and to make us to become more like Jesus. So I would say to you, let Him do that. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the sort of big and flashy things about the Holy Spirit, like miraculous gifts and these sorts of things. But on a very fundamental level, the Holy Spirit works in us on a daily basis, in the daily grind of how we interact with our family and our coworkers and our neighbors and our spouses. Listen to Him when He nudges your heart. Spend time in Jesus' Word so that He can bring those words to mind, right? The Holy Spirit promises, I will remind you everything that Jesus has said. But if you haven't been listening to what Jesus has said, then He can't remind you of it. So get yourself into Jesus' Word so that you can hear, so that the Spirit can bring it to you. Receive the Holy Spirit and let Him make you more like Jesus. When Julie and I were just married, we had friends who asked us to house sit for them, and we thought, well, okay, I guess it'll help them out, and so we decided that we would house sit for them. We would stay at their place for a little while, and when we got there, we discovered that they had left us notes, copious notes, like, okay, here's the security code, here's the Wi-Fi. But, like, also, don't use steel utensils on our pots and pans so that you don't scratch them. Duh. And make sure you buy us milk and have it in the fridge for us when we get home. We like to have milk when we get home. When Jesus left us, He didn't leave us this crazy list of things. Do this, do this, do this, do this. He left Himself. He gave His Spirit to us, to work in us, to move in us. So listen, receive that Holy Spirit and let Him make you more like Jesus. Let's pray. Yeah, the words of the song are exactly right. Thank you, O our Father, for giving us Your Son. And leaving Your Spirit until the work on earth is done. Father, first off, thank You for giving us Your Son. No greater love has anyone than this, that the Son of God laid down his life for us to reconcile us to God, to put aside all the times that we've said, God, I don't really care what you think. You paid for that sin. You brought us back to God. And then you gave us yourself in the person of your Holy Spirit to live in us, to renew us, to remake us. Lord, I pray that if anybody is trying to be good in and of themselves, still trying to impress you, I ask that you would let them let go of that and receive forgiveness of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit to renew us. Lord, for those of us who have walked with you for a while, I pray that you would make us ever more aware of the Holy Spirit at work within us. Spirit, stir up in us. Help us to grow in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and, well, gentleness and self-control. Help us to be more like Jesus. This week, I pray that you would stir in our hearts, nudge us in a moment when we need to be reminded. Remember what Jesus said here? Help us to hear. Help us to respond. Help us to obey. Because you are leading us into a life that is good and whole and perfect in preparation for a life that is even better and more whole and more perfect. Lord, work in us through your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name.